The following podcast is a production of the Logan Park Neighborhood Association.
It was an eye-opener, really. It woke me up in the sense of there's no age to business. It's idea and willingness to learn.
Too many clubs at school are definitely theories and concepts, but they don't apply them in the real world. And
once you're given the opportunity to expand your knowledge, to expand your character, you have the whole world to conquer.
Thanks for joining us for this podcast today. Logan Park Neighborhood Association is committed to keeping our community informed on issues that affect the health of our neighborhood. Now let's join the conversation.
One of our goals of this podcast is to help our Logan Park neighborhood know who lives and works in our community. Today, I want to introduce you to Spark Y, a nonprofit that has headquarters in the Casket Arts Building. My guest today is Zach Robinson, the executive director of Spark Y. Spark Y is described as a hands-on education rooted in sustainability and entrepreneurship. And we'll talk specifically about that in just a second. But before we do that, tell us why Spark Y came into existence.
Larry, thanks so much for having me today. And yeah, of course, I can tell you all about how and why Spark Y came into existence. As a young man, I graduated from business school and got into renewable energy, ended up founding and starting a photovoltaic company with a partner, and was approached by Mary Helen Franz, the founder of an organization, to be a founding board member. And the goal and the mission of that organization was to empower youth. And with my sustainability and entrepreneurship background, it sort of became this pathway for youth to take hands-on projects and turn them into school credit and a rewarding 21st century education opportunity. So the idea came to me, and I knew about this really cool growing method called aquaponics, where you could grow indoors year-round, use 90% less water than traditional agriculture, grow healthy organic produce where it's being consumed, either in your neighborhood or in your house or at your school. And we piloted a project. So students designed and built an aquaponic system, including the carpentry, plumbing, and electrical elements, and started to grow fish and plants together, which is what aquaponics is, growing plants and fish together in a symbiotic relationship and using both the plants and the fish for healthy food. And so we did this with a school in South Minneapolis, and it just went bonkers. The kids loved it. It touched on interdisciplinary education from lots of different subject areas. Like, instead of just being in English class, you can be in chemistry, biology, and use your hands all at once and work as a team and critically think out these problems that just organically arise. And it really just took off like wildfire from there. And fast forward to today, we are approaching $1 million annual budget. We're at 15 schools. Most notably, we have a Minneapolis public school pathway in Northeast Minneapolis, from Pillsbury to Northeast Middle School to Edison High School. Each of those schools has their own aquaponic system. And when I say aquaponic system for Edison, it's actually the largest aquaponic system in the state in the garage of the school. And they grow and sell produce into their cafeteria. As an incredible way to transform education and do it by giving skills to youth they need for the future to both empower themselves and protect the environment and understand how businesses work.
Entrepreneurship has to become, I think, a part of anybody's life. I don't care what job you're in. You still have to sort of self-start and motivate and so forth. Tell us a little bit more about that sustainability. I understand entrepreneurship. I understand that part of it. But sustainability, what is so unique about that in your program?
So we actually have a model where we define sustainability, and it's known as the 5 E's of sustainability. When these 5 E's are present, then a project, a group of people, or a society is sustainable. What are the 5 E's? Well, it's empowerment, you know, that spark inside that says you can be and do what you want as long as it's helping and protecting others. Education, are you learning and growing to be a better person every single day? Equity, are we taking care of all of our brothers and sisters and not just some of them, right? Taking care of everybody in our neighborhood. Environment, are we honoring and respecting where all of our goods and materials come from, right? If there's no trees, we don't breathe. If there's no trees, we don't have what we need to build our living environments, right? So naturally being able to live in harmony with our environment is really key. And then finally, economics. You know, we can't just then hug trees and hope the world is going to, you know, take care of us and change. Hugging trees is an excellent thing. I highly recommend it if you've never done it. That's just kind of a joke. I don't remember the last time I've done it.
Well, I love hugging trees, as long as they don't hug back, but go ahead.
It's kind of like a derogatory term in some ways, but it's just like, come on, it's just so cool. You know, I should put that on my to-do list for today, just go out and do that, because I can't remember the last time I did it. But economics, right? The fifth E is we need to generate revenue to take care of our families and ourselves, and we have to provide value. You know, money is just congealed energy representing value that we share with the community. And so sustainability, once you're doing all those five things together, you are able to survive. You're able to provide. You're able to move into the future in a way that will make sure that the earth and its people continue to move forward, just like the idea, the indigenous idea of the seven generations.
So you have about 1,900 students that your website says that you work with every year. So how do you recruit them? Where do these 1,900 kids come from? And do you go into their, you know, school auditoriums, or how do you get them?
Yeah, good question. So it's now 2,000, over 2,000 a year, and that's just in our school program. So we have three different branches of our organizations, and I'm sure we'll get into that. But really what we do is we hook into existing schools and communities and make what we do available. Because let's take a look at that biology class at Edison High School, right? We actually wrote a curriculum for their biology class and work with them to use aquaponics to hit all the education standards. So 400 students need to get biology to graduate from high school, and they're doing it in a way that they can work with their hands and actually apply, here's why cell structure is so important. And they look at the pattern, the cell structure pattern under a microscope, and their biology class takes it out of the textbook, right? So really, we're able to serve 2,000 students annually because those students are already coming to our schools and our community centers, these organizations that we partner with. That being said, we do have a wait list of schools that want to partner with us that we don't have the capacity for various reasons to serve. We're continuing conversations saying, how can we grow and serve more students as well? So we do operate all over the greater metro region of the Twin Cities, but we're headquartered in Northeast and do a lot in Northeast and South. But our world headquarters, Northeast Minneapolis. That's how we do it.
Let's talk about those three programs, because you referred to it just a moment ago. What are they?
The first is our flagship, and that's what we talked about. It's our school and community partnerships. We enable in a school at a sort of kit or in the classroom level, or even like in the garage or outdoors, these incredible sustainable hands-on projects to go forward. So what am I talking about here? It's aquaponics, gardening, greenhouses, timber frame construction, DNA extraction, growing mycelium or spirulina, composting, recycling, again, that align with our 5E definition of sustainability. Those are the projects we do, and then we let youth perform them, make the choices, come up with a plan and guidance, facilitate that action. And then it's quite easy, once you have that environment, for a teacher to look at that and say, wow, when they're doing this project, they're meeting the requirements for education standards. And then the quality of their work determines their grade, like the traditional, you got an A, you got a B, you got a C. And so that's that branch. And I'm really excited because now we're coming into a first ever model where we can do this with our school partners, where they get credit. They also get paid through work-based learning programs, and they can get industry-recognized credentials. And so that comes into the idea of, imagine graduating from high school and having a job right off the bat. And that's what we're building towards. Because our program addresses two really large problems nationally that we think about locally in the Twin Cities, which is the achievement gap and the workforce shortage, two crisis-level issues in our city. So that's that branch. That's our flagship. Our other two programs support that. Second program is our annual internship. Now, our annual summer internship is a deadline and budget-oriented experience where youth are doing those same types of projects, but they're out in the community a lot more. So, for example, the Beltrami Timber Frame Sustainable Picnic Shelter was a project we did at Beltrami Park, working with an incredible master timber framer, Clark Bremer, who I think you know, and allowed all of the students in our internship, while getting paid, to carve timbers and be a part of this incredible first-ever timber frame structure in a Minneapolis public park. That's like an example of that internship type project. They apply, they're interviewed, they build these incredible job skills, and they do projects. So it's great. And in 2018 is when we did the move from South Minneapolis into Cascade Arts Building, and the interns built a timber frame aquaponics system that summer. So really cool. And then finally, our world headquarters is the third branch of our program, and it's where we grow and sell food to the to the community. So we sell our microgreens at Eastside Co-op. Shout out to Eastside Co-op. They're such a great resource for the community and doing such good work. And all together, these programs work and interlace and interconnect systemically. It's an intentional design because that's how nature works, right? Things work together all the time. In a nutshell, those are our three branches.
Speaking about the Beltrami Picnic Shelter, we have something similar on the docket for Logan Park, which is be a performance timber construction for this summer, hopefully being built in July. And you're one of the major partners in doing that. And I really applaud you for the time and energy that you've put into that. You were described, speaking of Mayor Fry, you were described by him as a grenade for good. And I am hoping that he's assuming that he's referring to the energy and success that you've achieved through the programs of Spark Y. So tell us some of the projects you've done besides the Beltrami around where people can say, okay, I get it. I understand what Spark Y does.
He actually borrowed that phrase from Councilman Reich. It was at our open house party in 2018.
And
hopefully it's not that he thinks I have too explosive of a personality, but
yeah, I thought it was
grenade for good. I like that. That's so cool. But yeah, maybe this is why he said that. I think as a nonprofit, we operate like a social enterprise and have results orientation. We want to impact and are impacting youth lives. And at the same time, let's take the Logan Park Timber Frame Project this summer. We're able to participate in that project and perform a portion of the work in a more competitive way than is available in the marketplace from a cost perspective. And we do it by paying youth in a more competitive way than they could get in the marketplace for a job. And we take a little bit longer, but we train them, we closely and safely supervise them to participate in the carving and the project. That's our model. That's our, you know, sort of our secret sauce. We've developed how to do that over the last 7 years. But to really answer your question, we just finished a strategic plan that was our first ever. That was from 2017 to 2020. We're actually in the final operating year of that plan, and we already achieved it. And we had four main goals. One was to serve over 2,000 youth annually with high-quality programming. Check, done. The next was to measure and hit certain targets for growing thousands of pounds of food per year with youth, for recycling thousands of pounds of waste and composting thousands of pounds of waste per year, for conserving gallons and gallons of water by growing food in a way that is recycled and uses 90% less water with aquaponics. So we're measuring that tangible, linear environmental impact that our activities are having. Then we wanted to employ 50 youth a year. Well, last fiscal year, we employed 50 youth through our internships, through our work-based learning programs, and we hit that target, right? And then finally, we wanted to invest over the three-year period over $1 million back into the community through our efforts, through our service at the schools, and we've smashed that. We're, I think it's close to 1.3 or 1.4 million. And so those four metrics are all over the city in 30 different aquaponics systems. So we have like a decentralized strategic front line of growing food all over the city in unique, innovative ways and doing other projects like a timber frame greenhouse we have at Roosevelt High School in South Minneapolis, a Minneapolis public school with a great leader, Michael Bradley. The greenhouse and the work that we've done with Aaron Warney, the principal at Edison High School, and Vernon Rowe at Northeast Middle School, right? So these projects don't go forward without their support, and they're asking and they're charting the direction. And how does this help everybody? And then we make these things happen, and we do it in a way that's super results-oriented and just like, let's be productive and excellent to each other. And Mayor Fry and Councilmember Reich, you know, said that. And then by innovating and creating these programs that, you know, allow youth to earn credit, get paid, and, you know, work toward the job pathway.
Let's just face it. What you're sharing with us today, your model is working in a lot of different areas. And so you are a nonprofit, so you have to raise money. How do you do that, and how can people help?
So the first thing is virtual plant sale. We know how much life has been impacted by the current pandemic we're in, and that we need to socially distance right now because our vulnerable populations with compromised immune systems could be highly susceptible to COVID-19, obviously, I'm referring to. And so we socially distance so we can make sure that our health infrastructure can address this pandemic, right? And at the same time, things need to go on. People have lost their jobs, but we need to do what we can within a safe framework to have a healthy economy. So we're doing our virtual plant sale. Order online at sparky.org. And so by buying plants from us at the plant sale, by buying our virtual victory garden kits, which I'm really excited. I don't know if we have time to go dive into what that is, but we're going to have these virtual victory garden kits to encourage people to have the most productive urban agriculture year across the Twin Cities ever. But one way people can support us is support the plant sale. Order online and then curbside pickup May 2nd and May 9th. So we need Northeast to come out for us. How we budget typically is we are a 501c3 nonprofit, and we do operate with our school partnerships on the service for fee basis. So we do contracts, and schools have a need for this, and they have funding to do this because we're professional education consultants. We write curriculum. We have PhDs and highly trained technical experts. We have 12 full-time employees, and we have an incredible board of directors. So that's partially our model. So we don't just rely on grants or public funding or even donations from individuals. Folks can also do one other thing if they want to support our organization, and I would highly encourage this. For the price of as cheap as less than Netflix per month, you can be a SparkY monthly member and donator. And this helps us in incredible ways that's quantifiable. But $10 a month, you can support us. And with your philanthropy and helping very local, we're going to continue to transform the Twin Cities and radiate out from there. And that's another great way that folks can help us. Third way and final way that I'll mention is volunteers and expertise. So technical experts, master gardeners, we're calling on all of our elders that hold the wisdom that our youth are in danger of losing. Our youth today are in danger of being tech dependent, not tech savvy. But we need to honor the wisdom of our elders and those processes that work. So we need volunteers, and we need people that want to answer the call, help spark why, honor that wisdom, and have it go forward into the future. Anybody with expertise of any generation in any age, we want them to volunteer. But I see a large population that has some incredible skill sets that I really look up to that can dig in and help here.
Well, Zach, it's been great to talk with you. It's been great to hear about this wonderful organization, and we hope people will take advantage of it. And so give us, last but not least, your website so people can go there and learn more or donate or volunteer or whatever. What's your website?
For sure. spark-y.org. spark-y.org, or you can Google SparkY, will come up, and we have a Facebook and Instagram account. From there, folks can get in touch with us, send us an email, and it should be pretty clear where you can go to donate. There's information about the plant sale.
For more information about our theme or guest, you can access it on our website at loganparkneighborhood.org. More podcasts are coming, so please check out the RSS feed on our website to automatically receive them when they come out. The website is simple to remember, loganparkneighborhood.org.